Greetings, cabin friends. I hope you've all had a really blessed year. We live in some strange times. We actually had a really beautiful Hanukkah celebration here at the cabin earlier on in December, where we were lighting the candles every night for 8 days. And just celebrating Yeshua as the light of the world. And it's one of my favorite feasts, actually, is celebrating Hanukkah. But Hadassah was very excited about the candles. That was mainly because she thought there must be a really big cake for them all to go on. So that girl really loves her cake. So you might be wondering what we are doing back here in Surrey, England. Well, we came back here for the birth of our son, baby Benaiah, in July. And with the pandemic, we have just decided to stay on here at the cabin. So we are happy and the angels are happy and the hope rose is still blooming even now in December. In fact, it's been blooming since the start of the year. And it's funny, I'm not sure if I've actually shared that story with you all. But a few years back, I'd been moving slowly through some disappointments and a valley of weeping. And the Lord, I was just, spending time with the Lord outside the front of the cabin. And the Lord just showed me the rose that it was growing up. It grows all the way up the kind of the side and the front and actually grows in towards the cabin rather than out towards the sunlight. It grows in towards a lot of the other heavenly lights and stuff that goes on in the cabin. So he just showed me the rose growing on the side of the cabin and he told me to rename it and to call it Hope. So I went and I took hold of the rose, one of the roses that was in bloom, and I spoke to it just as the Lord had asked me to, just something along the lines of, "You beautiful rose, you are now called Hope." I took a deep whiff of the flower and it filled my nostrils with a most incredible fragrance. But just as this fragrance flooded my nostrils and set a huge smile on my face, my entire being, my soul felt flooded literally with hope. I felt a supernatural hope from on high just come in and through me, through the fragrance of this rose. So a few years later, in 2017, the Lord reminded me of this again, as it was in bloom when Jordan had flown over to England. And I shared the story with him. And we decided to take some of the blooms of this rose with us to Denmark when we got married. And I actually had one in my bouquet. I think Jordan had one in his buttonhole. So that is the story of the Hope Rose. And this beautiful flower is still blooming and it has buds on even now as we go into January 2021. So that will mean it has flowered for 12 months. So that's not normal, is it? But when we bring our homes and lives under the Father's government, the laws of heaven, these supersede the natural laws of decay and disease. Romans 8 says, "For in Christ Jesus, Yeshua, the law of the Spirit of life set you free from the law of sin and death." So the lifestyle of heaven is life, basically. L'chaim in Hebrew. We tangibly feel a difference, just even when we step back onto the property here. We can go for a walk and when we come back, like I always just feel there's such a difference. You can feel the openness and you can feel the Father's government of shalom here. So that was a bit about the Hope Rose. I actually wanted to share a conversation I had with the Holy Spirit to encourage you guys. So in between clearing up toys and getting the lunch ready, changing diapers, you know, the busy life of a mum. I heard the Spirit say, "Plant tulips." And sorry, I know there seems to be quite a few plant references here. Really, that wasn't intentional. Don't worry, this isn't a gardening podcast. So the Lord said to me, "Plant tulips." And I thought that seemed quite a random thing, like, to hear him say. So I looked outside at the grey, cloudy skies and the drizzling rain and just said, why tulips, Lord? And the Spirit then took me into the mystery of the seasons. You see, we plant spring flowers in the middle of winter, in the shortest days where it gets dark super early, We plant them within the ground, which is heavy and cloggy. Our hands might turn blue with cold, and our nails are probably black with dirt. Should have remembered the gardening clubs, you see. See, you can tell it's not a gardening show. So as we plant these bulbs, we're digging into the heavy soil, you know, we're freezing, we're putting our shoulders to the plow, so to speak. And we're doing so in faith. And we're doing so with the expectancy and joy set before us. You see, we don't plant for the season that we're currently in. We plant for the next season. So wisdom plants for the blooms and fruit of a future season, a season that is just around the corner. Now, ideally, that is a season of longer and brighter days, of warm sun on our faces and of new life budding. So I began to seek the Lord in the garden of my own heart, searching for those bare or barren places that needed attention. You know, the places that I could basically plant tulips in. The vibrant and noble stalks that would brighten every single lifeless corner. Once I found areas in my own heart that had been somewhat neglected in my walk with him, I took the shovel to dig up those heavy places. Removing stones of offence, eek, yes, we all have them lurking, and weeds, which are the cares and concerns of this world. Yep, they sneak into places that we haven't tended to recently. So we take hold of that shovel of humility to these places until the soil is workable. We plough up those heavy places in our souls, and we ask the Lord as well, Lord, come and deal with these heavy places. Lord, come and help me overturn the soil, overturn those cloggy places, those areas that we've neglected through the distractions and just busyness of life. And then we plant those tulips. We plant for a future season, a season of hope and joy and colour. For by doing so, we are engaging faith, which is the substance of things hoped for. And our vision, our expectation is fixed on the future. So much so, we are living out of that and pulling the power and beauty of that day into the present. Oh, of course, there's a global pandemic. Oh, of course, the government of whichever country you are in maybe is in a bit of a shambles. Oh, but my partner did this. Oh, the neighbor did such and such. Well, faith allows us to plant the potential for something different in the next season. In fact, faith sacrifices comfort in order to kneel outside in the freezing cold and steadfastly endure the dark days because it is already seeing that cold, dark corner already blooming, already full of life. It is seeing through the eyes of the eternal. By seeing through the eyes of the Lord, this allows us to see the transformation already taking place below the surface in the place of hiddenness. And then we can call it forth. And we speak, we become his voice of faith into the next season of blooming. Isn't this essentially the role of a son? So as sons functioning in the will of the Father, we can speak and see the manifestation. Just as Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave. And now even think again of Romans 8, we are called co-heirs with Christ. So this doesn't mean that there won't be times on our knees in the dirt, praying or digging. Often this is the actual preparation for the time of speaking his will in power. Romans 8:17 says, and if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. So that part is so often just skimmed over. We all bleat, oh yes, we're co-heirs with Christ, but how often do we actually see that being a co-heir with Christ is actually conditional? If we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. So often we bypass the suffering in order to shortcut to the glory. We want to rule and reign co-heir, but we're not willing to suffer. We're not willing to get on our knees in the dirt And going on to verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not comparable to the glory that will be revealed in us. Suffering has a purpose because it means that the glory can then be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the revelation of the sons of God, for the creation was subjected to futility, not by its own will, but because of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. So friends, be encouraged to pray and to seek his face. Depart from the ways of the world, the wisdom of the world, the let's get rich at everyone else's expense mentality. Let us seek out the dark corners of this planet even. Where is the Lord calling us to plant tulips? These tulips could be of repentance, of intercession, of believing for breakthrough for that loved one, or it could be of your gifting or calling or a number of things. Then let the Lord reveal that to you. And remember to stay true to what he has called you to. You know, don't do what everyone else is doing. Do what he's asked you to do. Perhaps it's not tulips he's asking you to plant. You know, you might be in a different hemisphere, say. I think of my friends and family over in Australia and New Zealand, even South Africa. You know, they're not currently in winter time right now, lucky things. They're in full-blown summer. So likewise, in the natural, they might be planting totally different things. When we were enjoying summertime over here and I was heavily pregnant and getting ready to have Benny, they were chilly and freezing in their wintertime. So likewise, other people could be in a completely different spiritual season or hemisphere to you. So know that if God calls you to sow or to plant something a little unusual, it's because he can see what season you are about to step into. And it might not make sense to others. So remember that you are planting for a future season. Another point I felt the Spirit really wanted me to touch on is this. Some are currently not seeing growth or fruit in a certain area and you don't know why. And you think you have been ticking all the right boxes. You've been to every online conference and ministry school. You've got the bulk sets. You've got the t-shirt. You've got the essential oil to name it. You claimed it. You know, you used to have tangible and wonderful experiences, but now you've just seemed to have hit a bit of a dry riverbed of disillusionment. Well, this might be because what was planted in one season is not applicable to another season. You may have been planting the right thing, but just in the wrong season. So if this is you, go back and inquire to the Father regarding his timings for things. The reason the Lord gives us the earthly pattern of seasons is so that we can learn this mystery. Just as we don't plant strawberries or raspberries in the autumn or fall, because all of their ripening and sweetening, you know, happens in the summer and in the warmer months with lots of light, not in the winter. You know, if we have them in the winter, then the frost would kill the leaves and the plants. You wouldn't get the fruit. So likewise, if we want to see fruit, we need to know that we're planting the right thing in the right season. We need to be in time with him. This also might mean tearing out of everything that was planted before in order to plant and to prepare for what is right and for what is coming in these days. I hope this is making sense and you guys are able to apply this to certain things going on in your own lives right now. Friends, we didn't sign up, you know, to a gospel of comfort and materialism. I think it's really important to ask ourselves honestly, if the Lord is showing you that there are some dark times coming on the earth, what are you sowing? What are you fertilizing? What are you planting in your spiritual life with him? And what is he planting in your life in the natural? For me, it was tulips. And in case you've been wondering, why the tulips? You know, what's the deal with tulips? Well, apparently the meaning of tulips is perfect love or deep love. So I love that the Lord just Yeah, I love how he just layers these beautiful meanings and symbols. I want to, kind of finish off with this scripture. But, Psalm 97, first of all, light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. I love this scripture. And it feels so timely right now. In fact, the whole of Psalm 97, I would say, add this to your little toolbox of prayer and of speaking into these times. Okay, so I'm just going to read this out to you. Psalm 97, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the distant shores be glad. Just that first verse alone, like speak that out into the nations. Speak that out right now. Let the earth rejoice. Doesn't matter what the mainstream news and media is saying. Doesn't matter what your neighbors are saying. Doesn't matter what the garbage on Facebook is saying. The Lord reigns. Hello, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the distant shores be glad. You know, when we know him and we know where he's positioned, we know that he reigns supreme over it all. That gives us joy and gladness. And with that joy and gladness, we can speak that to the distant shores. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are his throne's foundation. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. Oh, now that's assuring, isn't it? His lightning illuminates the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. Before the Lord of all the earth, the heavens proclaim his righteousness. All the peoples see his glory. All worshippers of images are put to shame, those who boast in idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and rejoices, and the towns of Judah exult because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Hate evil, O you who love the Lord. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous ones, and praise his holy name. I just love that. Powerful, powerful weaponry. I love what I actually found a little bit. I might finish off with some sweet articulation of Mr. Charles Spurgeon. I found a little bit of his a sermon that he gave on this psalm. And I'm just going to share a little portion of what he shared. He's just got such a wonderful way of just articulating scriptures. And he said, I'm trying to find the place now, sorry, bear with me. Okay. He said, God would have his people believe that better times are in store for them, and in the faith of the coming good, he would have them even now rejoice and be exceedingly glad. If you will read the psalm, you will notice that every verse may give us some strengthening of our faith as to the future blessedness of those that fear the Lord. The first verse declares that the Lord reigns. Shall so righteous a one sit upon the throne of God? And shall not those that fear him have their reward? If he is king, will he suffer his loyal subjects to endure damage? Will he not ultimately come to their rescue? The second verse tells us that clouds and darkness are round about him, and this explains why, for the present, the upright in heart may seem to be forgotten. You know, people might be thinking that, oh, there's terrible things happening in the earth or terrible things to come. But actually, it's knowing that the Lord actually wraps himself in this clouds and darkness of mystery. He goes on to say, God's dispensations are not always clear. It is his to conceal a thing. He wraps himself about in mystery, for the brightness of his glory is dark with excessive light. If his way is unsearchable, and his design deep beyond human understanding, we need not be surprised if we find it so in the dispensations of his providence towards his people. But still, as the second verse continues, righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. We may be certain, therefore, that he will not be unrighteous to forget our work of faith and labor of love. and that in dealing out judgment, both to his saints and to the ungodly, he will neither forget to reward the first, the saints, nor to condemn the second, the ungodly. The third verse, which describes the glory of the divine power as displayed in deeds of vengeance, when the enemies of God are burnt up by fire, goes to prove that he will, with equal certainty, reward his people. For he who is stern to punish surely will not be unrighteous to forget the gracious service of his saints. If he has promised, he will be as certain to keep his promises as he has been to fulfill his threats. He will not be true on the black side towards the undeserving and then be false on the bright side towards those who are made meritorious and through the righteousness of his dear Son. He who keeps the thunder and by will launch it from his hands also reserves mercy for his chosen and favour for his people. Indeed, the sixth verse declares that the very constitution of the universe proves this, that every star twinkling in its sphere proclaims the righteousness and wisdom of God, and therefore, since for him to be righteous is for his people ultimately to be blessed, we conclude that light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. How beautiful is that? So I will leave you there in those sweet words of Mr. Charles Spurgeon. And I hope this message has encouraged you all. I really want to thank you so much to the Cabin Academy partners, and I thank and bless God for each of you by name. Your obedience in hearing from him, you know, because let's face it, I haven't been sharing a whole lot publicly this year. And the Father has he's really had me in his pocket of hiddenness on assignments that no one else will likely ever know about. But back in May, he told me to take the Facebook Cabin Academy page offline for a while, which I did, mainly because of the trading floor of Facebook. But anyway, the website, cabinacademy.com, is still live, and the podcast page, obviously. So you can always keep track of us and stay in contact. And so you can always just keep checking cabinacademy.com. And so we're still contactable on there, but I'm trying to make the transition off of Facebook. There's a lot of yucky stuff going on with that platform. And So anyways, those that do support Cabin Academy on a regular basis and those that give one-time gifts, like, you have just been an amazing blessing to this ministry. And I thank and honour you. And if any of you feel led of the Lord to give to Cabin Academy, you can obviously do so at cabinacademy.com. Okay, blessings, love, and shalom to you all. In the name of Yeshua.